We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Are banks okay? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. This week, we get to see behind the curtains at a bunch of the country's biggest banks. They're reporting earnings. Charles Schwab today, Bank of America, and Morgan Stanley coming in the next couple days. Banks are the leading edge of the business cycle. If they start to clam up on lending, if their loans are going bad, that's a drag on the whole economy. So, Julia Coronado is here to talk about it. She's founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and a professor at the University of Texas, Austin. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
We're getting bank earnings right after a period where we saw several hundred billion dollars move out of especially small banks and into money market funds and bigger banks. So what do you think bank earnings are going to look like?
Well, early readings have been positive, and weekly data that we get on deposit flows and the Fed's balance sheet do show some stabilization. We actually saw inflows into both small and large banks. So it looks like the near-term crisis has stabilized.
So things are turning around there. But, I mean, are there any soft spots on the balance sheet that one might be worried about otherwise aside from that?
Absolutely. So we are looking for the degree to which banks are saying they are setting aside reserves in anticipation of losses on their loan portfolios. So we're looking for guidance from the banks on how big those will be.
Yeah, there have been some sort of indications in data that bankruptcy filings are rising slightly, loan defaults starting to rise. Do you think we're entering a period where that could be a problem for banks or the economy?
Yeah, we are seeing some deterioration in credit quality, some consumer loan delinquencies, some business loan delinquencies. It's very small so far, but it can be an indication of a turning of the cycle. This is the new frontier the Fed is focused on.
Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives and a professor at the University of Texas, Austin. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
We need you now. One generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
For two consecutive presidential administrations, there's been a focus on favoring American manufacturing and maintaining a U.S. edge in developing new technologies. We've got tariffs on imports from China. We've got last year's Inflation Reduction Act that offered hundreds of billions of dollars to companies in the U.S. to move to more clean energy. And ultimately, this is about the global economic order. Who produces what and who gets to access what technologies? There are downsides to this approach, argues Adam Posen, president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He wrote about this in a piece for Foreign Policy magazine titled America's Zero-Sum Economics Doesn't Add Up. He joins us now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Part of the idea is, for example, moving to a green economy, that the market needs a lift to get us there and to make sure that the U.S. benefits from that new economy. Don't we need some intervention to make that happen?
We definitely need intervention to decarbonize our economy. I think the issue is if the key components are about making stuff in factories in the U.S. through handouts to particular corporations and discriminating against the behavior or the companies or the rules of our allies, it's going to backfire. Because what's going to happen is you have the world divided up. It's like with vaccines, you know, with Russia and China deciding that they're going to only buy the vaccines they produce. They end up with inferior vaccines. We have broken down standards in the world. And then we have less spread of health, more spread of disease. The same thing is going to be true with clean energy.
You know, another fear that's sort of behind the policies that we're talking about is a fear of globalized supply chains, which once was an ideal. But right during the pandemic, disparate, far-flung supply chains became a liability for a little while. Is that not an argument for a little less globalization?
There is definitely an argument for reconsidering supply chains, particularly in critical industries, that the private sector companies in a decentralized way didn't do enough providing against disruption or geopolitics. But the way to get around that is through redundancy and diversification, not through closing off and politicizing the supply chains.
There's another argument that probably informs basically protectionism that we're seeing rise right now. That is the goal of reducing inequality. Is there an argument that having more production here in the U.S., even if it is inefficient, could benefit workers by providing jobs?
Let's say that we put these billions and hundreds of billions of dollars into particular manufacturing industries. You're essentially going to create, at most, 1 million jobs. The second problem is that it is targeted about particular congressional districts that both parties think are the swing voters. And the third issue is it will affect the purchasing power of average American families. So there's not a free lunch here. And if you want to address inequality, let's do what the Europeans do. Let's do what the Australians do. Raise the minimum wage, increase unionization, redistribute more when people are born, not just when they're in the workforce. Invest in education.
Adam Posen is president of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you so much.
Great to be on Marketplace.
We'll have more from that interview online at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.